It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks to Mario in Ashland, we check in on hemp production in Wisconsin during a color-only program. Mario asked, what holds back this crop?
My understanding is hemp is a very viable, versatile product as far as clothing, paper, oil, etc. And I know they grow a lot of it in Canada.
Be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. Share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Alex Mutz is a hemp farmer in Adams, Wisconsin, and president of Complete Agronomy, LLC. Alex, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Like, so, some historical context here. Between World War I and World War II, Wisconsin leads, you know, hemp production in the nation. And today, Canada is the world's top producer, according to Statistica. Why is so much hemp produced in Canada?
Well, first of all, I think the climate of that, there's a lot to unpack there. But the way that they grow there, they're a major producer of hemp grain, obviously, and fiber. Flour is a big part of it, too. But, you know, the biggest reason, in my opinion, is, you know, all the products that hemp, whether it be hemp oil, hemp grain for, you know, protein or anything like that, there's always byproducts, right? So say you're making a hemp oil and you're going to go compete into the seed oil market, your byproduct being the hulls and shells, or what was referred to as cake, can't be monetized in a traditional sense here in the U.S. For example, we can't sell that to the cattle market for feed because the regulators in charge of that won't allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. So which makes the product on the shelf more expensive, right? Because they can't monetize the downstream stuff. So that's just one example, but a lot of it just has to do with time. It's still, I mean, this stuff was been banned basically since, you know, the late 30s. So infrastructure, technology advancements, farming tactics, all of those things play a role in why hemp is having a slower start here in the U.S. than what everyone would like to see.
So what I hear from you is Canada has more favorable, established, value-added markets for hemp and all of its different products it could go into.
Yeah, correct. Even down from, you know, I heard the question that was aired before me, and you started talking about, you know, it's a great fiber for spinnable textiles, all that stuff. But, you know, none of those textile plants or anything that's actually even made here in the U.S. are not built to intake hemp anymore. I mean, it wasn't a viable raw material option for many, 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 many years. So all the advancements made in every sector and all the verticals created to the end consumer to minimize cost centers and all of those things, it's a much steeper mountain to climb than I think a lot of people are expecting. And it behooves the people that have control over those industries not to allow it to come in. So, yeah.
Well, let's look at some of the scaffolding here. The 2018 Farm Bill programs expired last month. Others will expire at the end of the year. What changes are you advocating for in the next Farm Bill by Congress that provides assistance to hemp farmers?
You know, the biggest thing is from the farming on the ground level is, you know, the requirements for large grain or fiber production. You know, I advocate for that really should not be treated the same as, you know, a flour production meant for the CBD or cannabinoid space. Reason being is, you know, we have to follow the same rules as a farmer growing, say, 2,000 plants, and I'm growing, say, 300 acres of fiber, you know, with over 1 million plants an acre. I hate to see those testers have to walk out there through that jungle to test it. So there needs to be a separation of those two streams from hemp, although they're from the same plant. They couldn't be any more different as far as their end product goal. So that's one of the biggest ones I advocate for. The other one is the increase from the THC threshold from 0.3% to 1%. You're seeing those types of things be enacted over in the EU, and I don't know if Canada is at 1% or not, but the reason for that is, you know, they set the 0.3 threshold as a maximum amount of THC a cannabinoid plant can have, with all different cannabinoids in it that aren't psychoactive, mm-hmm. Delta 9 being the psychoactive one, that's a Schedule 1 still. It needs to be increased to at least a 1%, because after harvest and after the testing, during the end process to get it to that oil, concentration happens. And with concentration comes gray areas that a lot of farmers are stuck with, oils and other products that was produced from their flower grows that they can't really ship federally because of the fact that it has more than 0.3%, right? But really, it's an in-process material that was already deemed compliant by the USDA.
Okay, so THC, the chemical marijuana that produces a high, what happens if a hemp field contains more than 0.3% THC?
So there are remediation programs that the USDA offers in those situations. It can be quite devastating to a farmer. I know plenty of farmers throughout the U.S. that have had to basically turn over their crop and just get down. And
has that happened to you?
No, it has not. No, but it can. I mean, it's as simple as buying a genetic, and you know, there's a lot of things that can happen in the field. Stress can cause a higher production. The plant's response would be to, in a stressful situation, it could be to increase production of THC. So there's all sorts of situations. That's why it's really important, if you're going to grow for flower, that's a much more focused and labor intensive, and really have to pay attention to that crop. Whereas fiber and grain, which is what actually, in my opinion, could be a third rotational crop option in the U.S., is not nearly as finicky in regards to that, because you're creating grain. The plant is focusing its energy to create grain, not cannabinoids.
Okay, so in 2017, Wisconsin starts its industrial hemp pilot program, and then the program went mm-hmm. under the U.S. Department of Agriculture's control last year. Is this transition to federal oversight affecting production at your farm?
Not the rules basically stayed the same. I mean, the Wisconsin hemp pilot program mirrored what the USDA was doing pretty well. I mean, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, we've seen, I think it's something like a 90% decrease in hemp licenses, even in Wisconsin. So there really
isn't
much of a
90% decrease.
Oh yeah.
Why?
Oh yeah.
What's going on?
Well, the markets aren't there, not there yet. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. And the biggest problem with it was the overproduction in 19. You know, we did somewhere, I think it was over 100,000 acres in the U.S. And we didn't know how much flower was being produced, how much grain was being produced, because at that time, the data wasn't being segregated and shared in that sense. So there was really kind of a shot in the dark. You know, you had very, very high prices in 2018 on the flower market, and then a steep decline and crash in 19 because of the overproduction. At the same time, the fiber industry, or the fiber crop to be used as like a paper or softwood replacement, it's just going to take time to penetrate even the building codes. I mean, you know, just to use it as an insulation or a flooring or, you know, anything, it has to go through a pretty strict regulatory process to get to even the level that we can sell and safely install in homes. So all of those systems and verticals have to be built. Meanwhile, you're competing against raw material production and paper mills and et cetera that have had basically no competition. And able to set up these verticals for, you know, a generation or two. So, it's just, it doesn't mean that there's no hope. It's, we're seeing great success, and we have partnered with people, and we just keep going further down the supply chain and take it upon ourselves to try to get to the customer and show them how awesome of a product this is, not only for its uses, but also for what it does to our soil and how healthy it is for everything.
Alex Moots is a hemp farmer in Adams, Wisconsin. You can be part of this discussion at any point. Call in with a question. Share your perspectives. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the outlook for Wisconsin's hemp crop, thanks to Mario and Ashland for this topic suggestion. As the U.S. Department of Agriculture oversees the different forms and qualities of hemp, provides regulatory oversight of hemp production nationwide, call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Alex Moots is a hemp farmer in Adams. Alex, how is your crop looking amid the fall harvest season?
You know, good. This morning and yesterday morning, woke up in a bit of a panic. I kind of forgot what rain was there, but had a bunch of bales that we brought out, some fiber bales, and had to scurry to get those covered. But we hit all of our benchmarks and improvements that we wanted to make this year on the fiber and on the fiber side, and had some really good success with some new weed management tactics we were using and soil prep. And, you know, every year is just, you learn a little bit more and you did a little bit better at it. I'm a first generational farmer. So, I have a lot of close farmers around me as mentors to help me along this and make sure I'm not trying to solve a problem that's already been solved, but it's looking good.
What problems come up for you so far with like diseases and insects and keeping down the weeds?
So the weeds, a lot of that has to do with getting your canopy up, trying to get them popped out of the ground faster. Depth is a very, very important part and crucial part of this whole thing. And then, you know, whatever is people say about this plant not needing the water during those early days and early weeks, water is obviously very important. So, we did everything under pivot to get rid of that variable and, had a really good season. As far as bug pressure, it really just depends. We've got, sometimes you'll find, you know, we've got some boar worm out there every once in a while. This year for pests, you know, I think mostly maybe because it was so dry, but we really didn't have very much pest pressure at all. So we were really lucky this year, but there's not a lot of tools in our chest that, for instance, like if you were a corn grower or a soybean grower, there's not a lot of tools the hemp industry has to fight against those. One, because, you know, we may not be growing on organic land, but we're trying to grow organically with this, trying not to cause any more harm than needed. So, but the plant is resilient, and there's a reason why it's it kind of grows almost anywhere. It's pretty resilient to a lot of those pressures. So
the USDA delaying enforcement of testing hemp crops through a U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency lab, and that's going to be delayed through the end of the year. How does that affect Wisconsin hemp farmers?
So, well, I only pick, it's just easier and better for everyone. I mean, obviously the intention for the DEA and the USDA is to make sure that we're getting tests done by third-party labs that have passed a strict, basically, licensing and application history, all of that stuff. And, you know, I like to make sure to test with those types of organizations because I know that those regulations cause a lot of stress and cost to get that. So, in a way, if they're going to do it, they need to do it so that the testing part of this industry can really, you know, blossom into what it's meant to be, which is a third party, government regulated, backed authority that says, hey, this I know is hemp grain. I know this is hemp flour. And here's the tests that prove it. Here's where I went in the field by geolocation. So I I like the idea of it. I think that there's a lot of problems created by testing facilities that are either, you know, they're popular because they're telling the farmer what they want to hear as far as purity and potency, and instead of being you know, an unbiased opinion where the test is what the test is, by the same standard that's been set across the country. So I love that idea of regulation. You very rarely hear me say that about federal oversight, but yeah.
It creates an even playing field, I think, what I'm hearing from you. Talking with Alex Mutz, hemp farmer in Adams, Wisconsin, looking at hemp production in our state and where it goes from here. You can join in with your question at 800-642-1234. Alex, last year, UW-Stevens Point started researching hemp's capacity to remove toxins like heavy metals, lead, arsenic from the soil. What is your crop primarily used for?
So we just originally... We were partnered with, and we still are, we're partnered with a company that their main focus is creating a replacement for softwood in the pulping industries for, you know, for paper books, printed books, you know, trying to show that a paper mill or a forestry company or, you know, there's a lot of paper mills within a 100-mile radius of here that really just aren't in action, and trying to use those infrastructures that have already been built by using a bit of a replacement to softwood would create a product of paper that, you know, was sustainably grown and absolutely plays a role in carbon sequestration. And so there's that company. So that's some of what we do. Part of our crop is grown for the purposes of me trying to find out where these markets are heading. So I have my own inventory for my company, and we just purchased a decortication system that will allow us and farmers around us to process their hemp here in the state of Wisconsin. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think we're the only ones that have the capability to separate the woody material from the fiber here in the state. And we just brought that here as of 2 weeks ago. So we're setting it up right now.
Alex, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Alex Mutz is a hemp farmer in Adams, Wisconsin, president of Complete Agronomy. That's a crop consulting firm. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.